A pleasant good morning, friends, once more, and welcome to Access, the public affairs presentation of Marker Broadcasting. My name is Ralph Squillaci. For the next 30 minutes, you are invited to, well, grab that other cup of coffee, and whatever kind of politically incorrect breakfast you like to get. Why? Because we're very non-PC here. 30 minutes of fun with one of the most delightful people I have the opportunity to interview on a semi-regular basis, but when she came back through a friend of ours and said, hey, can I come back on the show? I said, yes. Representing HARC is Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinley, PhD, and it is so nice to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It is a wonderful thing. The last time you and I got together, we'll have to explain what HARC is, but the last time you and I got together, we were talking about that that survey, and you're doing all those number crunches and that sort of thing. So what has happened since then, and what is HARC about to do? And tell us a little bit about what it is, in fact.
Absolutely. So HARC is a nonprofit. It stands for Health Assessment and Research for Communities. So we're the data geek team here in the desert.
And she's anything but geeky this week.
And HARC was really created 13 years ago in 2006. Because there was this idea that we here in the Coachella Valley are unique. There are things about us that are not the same as the rest of Riverside County. And Riverside's a big county. God knows it's bigger than a couple of states.
Oh, it is, absolutely.
And so there was great data at the county level that could tell the county's story, but that's not necessarily our story. And so many nonprofits came together to create HARC with the idea of giving us Coachella Valley-specific information, so that the Health and Human Service agencies here could really make a case for what the needs were here. So we were sort of hatched out of Desert Healthcare District those 13 years ago. And
I like that, hatched.
And
it's a county thing.
It was decided that the way we would do this, the way we would get this data and tell this story, was through a telephone survey. And it would be random sampling, so it would have an equal chance of representing everyone in our community. Mm-hmm. And the topics were determined by the community. So it includes things like healthcare access and utilization, mental health, major disease, socioeconomic needs, food insecurity, whatever information our Coachella Valley Health and Human Services leaders needed to know but couldn't find anywhere else, because we don't want to reinvent the wheel.
No, that's a very interesting thing, because I remember one of the things we were talking about were the fact that to get these kind of numbers and to get this kind of data, you needed to make good old-fashioned phone calls. And what was the University of Pennsylvania, I believe?
It's Kent State University.
Kent State, okay. Yeah. Well, that's close.
Somewhere not here.
So I'm sure a lot of people were in fact, I was talking to some people not long ago that had heard the show. I was talking about it. It might have been with Ken Allen, our mutual friend. And Ken said that he had actually gotten one of those Kent State phone calls.
Oh, wonderful.
Can you believe it? I may get the story completely messed up here, but the fact is a lot of folks were getting those Kent State phone calls, and they said, well, what the hey? Kent State, why are they calling me? Well, what we were talking about in the last show is if you get that call, take it, really, because it's not spam. I know, heaven knows we get enough spam calls, but this is not a spam number.
Yes, this is not one of those calls. This is a real human being, very nice human being.
There you go. they must have to put up with.
Oh, I know. When I got hired at HARC, I started at HARC 7 years ago as the director of research. Mm-hmm. And that was my first question during the interview. Who makes those thousands of calls? Because I don't want it to be me. And then they said, no, that's not part of your job.
Smart lady.
All right, I'm in.
Smart lady. I told you she's a delight. When Ken said, hey, can we bring Jenna back on? I says, absolutely. Friends, you're listening to Access on Marker Broadcasting stations all over the Coachella Valley, and my guest once more, Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinley, PhD, who is the head of HARC. And, you know, you just don't look like a number-crunching geek to me. You never have, but you know what? Everybody needs a hobby. I'm glad that's yours, because numbers ain't my thing. But you know, it's such an important thing that you do, in terms of that. Now, what are some of the other things that HARC does for the benefit of the community?
So, as I mentioned, we started out with this huge survey that we do every 3 years, and that's a huge part of our business. It remains a huge part of our business today, because we provide that data back to the community at no charge. Because mm-hmm. many of our data users are small nonprofits who otherwise couldn't get this data, and they use it to justify their request for funding, right? Because it's one thing to say, well, there's this need, give me money to fix it. It's another thing altogether to say, here's documented how many thousands of people need this. Please give me money to fix it. So we're very proud that we're
economy, money is limited.
It is.
It's limited. So it's like, hey, can I have some money? Sure. What's it going to be used for? Research. Into what? But if you were to take HARC's information and HARC's data, and the numbers are all pre-crunched, and you as the nonprofit agency or whatever that you happen to be go to a funding source and say, hey, look, we have this group of people who are underrepresented. They need representation in healthcare for whatever reason. What can we do?
Absolutely.
Now we have some proof.
One of my favorite stories that Jack Newby tells with the Joslin Center was that when you talk about the Coachella Valley and you hear about the greater Palm Springs area, mm-hmm. if you're a funder from outside the area, you think rich white guys playing golf. And that's true. We have a lot of that. But there's another story, too. And so HARC's numbers help tell the story of the seniors who are food insecure, who are low income, who would not be able to eat without home-delivered meals. And so his organization uses our data to tell that story and to get the funds to make sure that those people do have a meal delivered, a healthy, nutritious meal, and aren't going hungry in their own homes.
I remember reading something, and I don't know if it still holds true today, but in terms of per capita income, Indian Wells is the richest small town in the country.
That would not surprise me.
But then you go just a few miles east to Coachella, which during that same thing that I was reading, some sort of online survey that I read, and I wish I could cite it, and I can't, the third poorest in the nation per capita, and just a few miles away, just a few miles to the east.
Yes, it's really true. And even if you go slightly further east, those unincorporated areas,
oh my gosh, Mecca, yes,
Oasis and North Shore, have some of the absolute lowest incomes and the fewest healthcare providers. I think there's one census tract out there that has 9,000 citizens per every one healthcare provider.
Oh my. Yeah, because that southeastern end of the valley is so rural, and if anybody's ever driven, you mentioned North Shore, once booming, now it's a ghost town. I've always said it looks like something out of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I'm on the board of Borrego Health, which is mm-hmm. headquartered in Borrego Springs, which you have to drive all the way past the Salton Sea to get there.
Oh yeah, you got to drive around the mountains. It's a straight shot in from La Quinta, but you can't get there from here, as it were.
Yes, and man, is it educational as you go along that coastline.
Oh, it's true, because and there's still a lot of people who live there. And then you also have the
amount.
Oh yeah, we mean the Torres Martinez Reservation mm-hmm. is there, and we all know that we've heard the stories about things like the trailer parks that are substandard for some of the farm workers. And this is all in the encompassing Coachella Valley, or as you said, the greater Palm Springs area. Mm-hmm. How do these people get representation? When you get that phone call from Kent State University, pick it up.
Absolutely.
And go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So we've been providing this. We're currently in the fifth survey. We do it every 3 years. We're in the midst of our fifth one right now. But in 2009, it was sort of thought that, yes, the survey cycle really does take 3 years. It really involves. But that third year, we have a little bit more bandwidth. And what do you do with researchers? Well, you don't want them sitting around bored because, hello.
I'm a researcher. I'm bored. Let's research. Don't know what? Let's research it. Yes, I can see that.
Yeah. So the idea was that HARC would sort of become a place that you could outsource your research and evaluation needs, because all of our great health and human services agencies want to become evidence-based, right? They want to become data-driven and do things the best way possible. Because like you said, resources are finite, and you want to make change in people's lives, but you want to do it as effectively and efficiently as you possibly can. And that means data. And a lot of these companies aren't large enough to have an in-house researcher or evaluator, and so they use HARC. That first year, we started off with one client doing some program evaluation for the AmeriCorps program.
Mm-hmm.
In the most recent year, I think we had 28 different clients. Again, most of them are nonprofits or healthcare organizations. Most are still here in our Coachella Valley, but some are in Riverside or San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, our goal to become that resource for the Inland Empire, that, okay, you want to know about what your community needs? We will get that for you. And what's really fun about it is that our clients are so diverse, and they're always doing really interesting things. So I've been doing research since I was 19, and I love it, but I never wanted to do market research. Like, I don't care what color of M&M you like best. I don't care
now
what...
Now, you see, that to me is more interesting, marketing research. You know, the number crunching is like, how do you do this? I'm, you know, 2 + 2. Wait a minute, I'll get it. That's me with numbers. You, on the other hand, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to, you know, research what color makes people buy more. I don't care about that. I've always done research in the nonprofit field. And so, for instance, you know, one day we'll be evaluating a fall prevention program for seniors. And the next day it'll be a literacy program for children out of a Boys and Girls Club. And the next day it's an LGBT health needs assessment for a hospital. And it's just so diverse. And you get to see in depth how amazing all these organizations are doing and the great stuff that they're doing to change lives.
And we have so many of them, too. In fact, when you're talking about market research in the sense that you were, all you have to do is ask the Ford Motor Company what happened back in about, 1958 with the Edsel brand that didn't exactly turn out too well. That was all market-driven. They did market research. This is the kind of car we want. Well, that's the kind of car they thought they were going to build, and the whole thing collapsed by 1960. So that I like where you're coming from on that. It's more tangible, it's more concrete, not quite as abstract, and it gets the job done.
It really is, you know, only doing research and evaluation that helps people. And so mm-hmm. that I'm not personally feeding the hungry or teaching kids to read or any
of that.
Well,
in an indirect way you are.
But in an indirect way,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very feel-good type of business to be in. And you're never bored. You know, I think if I just did research in seniors all the time, I would get bored. But it's not. It's seniors. It's the children. It's the greater community. It's the farm workers. It's so much. And our valley, there's so many great people here that are trying really hard to affect change. And we like to be the ones who get to show, yes, it's working. You're changing lives. And help them to broadcast that story.
And you're talking about the stereotype of the rich, white, golfing kind of guy. That's fine for the outside world. Hey, come on in, Chamber of Commerce type of thing. We got the weather, we got the palm trees, we got the mountains, we got the golf. But we also have a whole lot of people. And I've been here almost 30 years, and I have seen this just grow almost exponentially. And all sorts of different and diverse income levels and cultures. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And our cities, you know, we've got 9 cities and a few unincorporated areas, a couple of tribal reservations,
mm-hmm.
and every one of them is so unique and different, and that's where you need data to tell those unique stories, because the needs of La Quinta aren't the needs of Indio right next door, you know?
And that makes perfect sense. I live in La Quinta, and I know Indio's like... Indio is strange in the fact that they have a lot of up-and-coming, really expensive homes and tracts. But then again, you go a few miles toward the old downtown area, which they're trying to gentrify. But it's still kind of like, ooh. And don't get me wrong, Indio, I love you. And
I was going to say, I live in Indio, right?
Well, you live in the nice area. Hi, neighbor. I live in La Quinta. No, but seriously, I'm sorry about that. I know
right.
She doesn't live in a crummy area. She's a PhD. She can afford the nice stuff.
I'm a PhD who works in a nonprofit.
Okay, but still, still a PhD. Dr. Jenna Lacond-Heinle is that lovely lady, the PhD who I have directly across from me this morning on Access. HARC is the name of the nonprofit business, and their business is crunching numbers, which may sound kind of boring, but trust me when I say that the work that they do, after interviewing you on a couple of occasions prior to this, it's important work, it's incredibly important work, in fact, and it's work that I think we should all become involved with. And the best way to do that is if, on your phone, you get a call from the Pennsylvania area, from Kent State University.
Ohio.
Or Ohio, rather. I'm one state off, why not? Why did I want to say Pennsylvania? I said it was Pennsylvania before because I was thinking Penn State. It's I'll get it right. I really will. But if you see that number for Kent State, not Penn State, there we go, please answer it, because it's somebody who is going to take the information from you, put it into this database. They're going to crunch those numbers and get you, the community, the help you need.
Absolutely. And, you know, this message has sort of been conveyed with Census 2020 as well, is that if you don't share your needs, you're not getting counted and you're not getting served. And that, to a lesser degree, is true for our data, too. Because if people are afraid to take the call, they're afraid to share their story.
Oh, that's a good point. Don't be afraid of it.
Don't be afraid of it. It's local, it's legitimate, and it really, really does help people.
And please don't do a call block on it, because heaven knows there are enough real spam calls out there, and we get them all the time. And you and I were talking about one that you'd gotten just a little bit earlier.
Just a few minutes ago.
Just a few minutes before we got together. It happens all the time. But you know what? When you have something legitimate like this, I know it's going to suffer. But do your best, friends, to think twice. Get that call from Kent State University in Ohio, not Pennsylvania. Like I said, one state off. And take the survey. It's going to help you here locally. Again, from HARC is Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinle, and it's always just a pleasure to have you on board.
Well, thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. So the numbers continue to be crunched, and what are some of the immediate goals as far as maybe some of the clients that you have that whom you're working for to try to get them some extra funding, or at least the information that they can use to turn around and get the funding themselves?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We have a lot of great clients right now. We are doing some work with Kaiser, both the Moreno Valley location and the Riverside location.
Good people.
And we are doing a community health needs assessment for them so that they can direct their grants to the areas of most need, including here in the Coachella Valley. And I think that's really important. You shouldn't just throw money at what you think is the issue. You should throw money at what the community says, you need to prioritize this, we need X, Y, Z.
And it would help, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, the people that actually go to various government agencies to request these grants, if they have your data in hand when they go in there and say that, now they've got all their T's crossed and their I's dotted, hey, look, we got this from HARC, Health Assessment and Research
For Communities.
For Communities, thank you. I got three out of four, ain't
bad.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
I'll write that down so I can put it on the paperwork later. But seriously, it makes it much easier for them to get the funds they need to in turn help you in the community. So I'm talking to you, the listener. You see how this all kind of comes together. It's all this big synergistic sort of thing. So if you get that call, if it's from Pennsylvania, it might be spam. If it's from Ohio, it's Kent State. It's a good one. So
one of my favorite
do.
Success stories comes from the city of Coachella, where Jacob Alvarez, who's the assistant city manager, told me he was writing this grant application, a federal grant application, as you mentioned, for safe routes to schools, which will put in sidewalks so children can safely walk to school and get that exercise that they need. And it was the weekend, and the grant was due immediately, and it said you have to have local data to justify this need.
Oh, my. And you had yours.
And he came to HARC's data, was able to drop that in, and we were able to then be a very small part of their great success in getting over $2 million to provide those sidewalks and that infrastructure so that children can be safe walking to school.
And, you know, driving through Coachella, they have, as of fairly recently, a lot of protected crosswalks around some of the parks. So I would hope that HARC had something to do with those, where they have the flashing yellow. And it slows drivers down. I mean, it's not going to stop somebody like a traffic light would, but at least alert somebody that there is a pedestrian or pedestrians in a crosswalk. So I'd like to think that that's a part of that.
Because
it's fairly recent.
We have a really high traffic, pedestrian fatality here, I feel. And part of it is that the areas aren't designed for people to walk around. And so that's where the danger comes in. So I think, we could all do with more walkability in our cities. I know that for sure.
Yeah, even though it gets hot, nice to take a stroll every so often. Health assessment and Health Assessment and Research for Communities.
There you go.
I got it. Just about the time I finally get your name without mangling it. Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinle is with me, and she's the head of HARC. And as I said, she is a lovely lady who likes to crunch numbers, but these numbers are crunched on your benefit. I mean, when you hear number crunchers, you tend to think of, corporate bean counters or people who are just researching and what do you call it? Maybe the mating habits of a brine shrimp. Who knows? Now, this is real good stuff. This is what gets you, the cities, the listeners within the cities, the people who need the help. You were talking about like seniors with Meals on Wheels. How do you get the data? You go to HARC.
Exactly. And so if anyone listening, if you need data like this to support your cause.
Yes, please.
You should go to our website. It's harcdata.org, harcdata.org. And if you can't find what you need there, you should shoot me an email, because if I don't have access to it, I probably know where it is. I can help you out, or maybe it's something that there isn't any data on, and then we can collaborate to design a study that will get you that data you need.
Now, that's an interesting angle I hadn't thought of. Now, let's say somebody does call you.
Mm-hmm.
They're a, whether it's a nonprofit agency or a municipal agency, whatever. Let's go back to another nonprofit agency just to keep it easy. They have no data. They need data on whatever it is they're trying to do to get funding. Where do you start, or in an easy way to do it?
Yeah. So, and one example was Bob McKechnie, who used to run the Cathedral City Senior Center.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Jenna, I need Cathedral City specific data on XYZ, and I can't find it. It was easily available to me on the census site because the census site is not the most user friendly site in the whole wide world. But once you play in it a lot, it's easy. It takes me 5 minutes tops to pull that for him, which would have taken him an hour or 2 hours maybe. And so I pulled it, I sent it to him, and he said, this is absolutely perfect. Thank you.
And plus,
so
you know what
much.
To look for, because you knew the questions to ask him to say, okay, Bob, what is it that you're trying to get? Well, I need funding for this, I need funding for that.
Or,
and now you're able to go in and say, this is what needs to be serviced, because these are the kind of people that would benefit from it.
Like Whitney Hay, who's just started the DuBerry Hay Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I met her, and she said, we're really interested in mental health in children and teens.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I don't have great data on suicidal ideation, but I know who does. It's the California Healthy Kids Survey. I'll send you a link. Here's how many of our 9th graders and our 11th graders in our 3 school districts have seriously considered suicide in the past 3 months, which, by the way, is horrifyingly high. It ranges from 13% to 18%.
Holy mackerel.
But I was able to send her. So it's not just our data. It's other data sources, too. It's that it's, again, something that she thinks, I could really
but you know where to go to get
and
it.
And I can send it to her in 5 minutes.
So, like I said, there are some number crunchers out there that are doing some incredible good for the community. HARC is one of them, and the lady who heads it all up is with me, Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinle. And I tell you what, this is, I would never have thought that something like what you are doing with this kind of, well, let's go back to the term, number crunching. I know it's a bit cliche sounding, but for want of a better term, but it could be so useful.
I know.
On a community basis. You should be proud of this.
It's really because it's behind the scenes, you know, and we struggle with that, with conveying our message and with
mm-hmm.
fundraising and everything, because people want to give.
And just to gather the data.
Feeding the hungry or rehoming abandoned animals, and everybody wants mm-hmm. that feel good, and we don't do that feel good, but we help the people who do.
Right. Okay. So that makes a lot more sense too, because we have so many people who do have come in here, like you mentioned, animal rescue, for example. I can't tell you how many times I've had animal rescue folks on this show, and they're wonderful, wonderful people. But one of the things I always try to do is put out the word and say, hey, help these folks financially, however. But when they have to, which is fine, you get the contributions from the community. But if they have to go out into the dark, cruel world and say, Mr. Government Person, I need money to rescue my homeless puppies. Well, bring me some data. I ain't got none. Well, come back when you got it. That's when you come
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yes, it's not terribly glamorous, but it is a whole
but
lot of fun.
But it's amazingly useful.
And really helpful, yeah. And I think all of us, there's only 5 of us, but I think all of us sleep really well at night knowing that we helped make our community a better place.
And I'm sure that you do, because I'll tell you, I can't think of anybody better suited than this, than you. Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinle from HARC, Health Assessment and Research for Communities. Yay, I
go.
Got
Perfect.
It. I'm 2 for 2, baby. Look out. And again, if you get that call from the Kent State University area, please take it, because it's one of the few ways, just good old-fashioned telephone canvassing, to get the data that they need based on random phone calls to your household. Now, let me ask you a few simple questions. It may not go into such personal items as income, and I guess you're free to confirm or deny that, but is there anybody in your home that is suffering from cancer? Is there anybody in your home that's suffering from AIDS? Do you have somebody with a mental illness in your family? Somebody with some sort of terminal disease? This is the sort of research that is priceless to not only folks like Dr. Jenna here, but to the folks who try to get the funding to help the people who might be in your household get the help they need.
Absolutely, especially with that major disease. I know our hospitals use our data to try to appeal to specialist physicians and say, hey, look, this is how many thousands of people in this area have diabetes. We need an endocrinologist to come practice here. Here's what your patient population would look like, and to appeal to them to come here. So yes, it is incredibly important. Please, please, please take the call if you get it. It's a 330 area code, and they will leave a message, and they will leave a number that you can call them back on. So it's really easy, I promise. It's painless.
And it's legit.
And it's legit.
That's exactly what we said in our last interview. So, again, please, I mean, something like what radio does. We have to gather the data that we need in commercial broadcasting in order to say, okay, who's listening for how long, what age groups, what income groups. So that way we can compile all of that based on something as primitive as sending out a paper diary and hoping that it gets sent back, so that we can determine things like advertising rates. What you are doing is along those same lines, only much more important because, hey, you're impacting the community at large, the health of people, the sorts of benefits, like even like what you were saying with animal rescue, things like that that are such a big part of this community. And the more I've been doing this show over the years, the more I realize, man, we got a lot of great service organizations out here, but you can be a feat. You, I'm talking to you, Jenna, are just the perfect feeder for all of these folks to get the data they need to, in turn, get the help they need to help the folks in need.
Absolutely.
I may have come up with an advertising slogan.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you. I'm not sure I said it very well, but I kind of liked it. Well, we got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that that we haven't touched upon that perhaps you'd like to in the little bit of time we have?
Well, I think the only other thing other than our triennial survey and then, our custom work that we do for other organizations, the other big thing that we do is what's called the Workplace Wellness Awards. Every June, we like to highlight those employers in Coachella Valley.
Who are doing a
great job of protecting and promoting employee health. And a lot of people think that's just diet and exercise, but no, it's so much more than that. It's your mental health. It's how you feel. Are you excited to go to work? And we have some great, great organizations that have been sponsors and winners. Desert Oasis Healthcare has been our sponsor the last couple years, and they were the winner before that. I always said that if I didn't work at HARC, I'd want to work for them because they value their employees so much. And often people think that that's just sort of a throwaway, like, oh, you don't have to think about that. But it really is good for the workplace as well as the worker, right?
We have all had crummy jobs at some time or another. You get hired and you get into the job. It's like, this isn't quite what I wanted. And then you hate going to work.
You hate it. And you're less productive. You're less likely to look for outside-the-box ways to improve the company. I mean, there are some really great organizations out there who are doing wonderful things that we like to use the awards to shed a light on. That, hey, if you're in the market for a new job, look for one of these because they are the best there is here for treating their employees like they're real people.
Well, son of a gun, I wish we had another half an hour, but we don't. I'd love to have you back again whenever you can.
I would absolutely love that.
It would be my pleasure to have you again from HARC, Health Assessment and Research for Communities. Got it again, nailed it. Dr. Jenna LeConte-Heinle, and do say hi to our mutual friend Ken, who made this. Ken Allen is a friend of ours, and in fact, he even worked with KPOM for a while. And it was just wonderful to have you here, and I want you back again whenever you can.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And friends, if you want to be a part of Access, it's real easy. Just call us here during regular business hours at 760-4, and make that 760-568-4550. There it is. My email is ralph@markerbroadcasting.com. Although the phone call is usually a better way to get a hold of me, I don't check that email very often. Perhaps I should. But again, 568-4550 is the number during regular business hours. You've been listening to Access, the public affairs presentation of Marker Broadcasting. I'm Ralph Squillace. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you tomorrow on KPOM. Bye-bye.